Hey, we're about to begin a brand new sugya, a brand new malacha, a lot of terrors in this malacha. The malacha of Kaysev. As I said, this malacha should take us probably till after Pesach. One would think when you begin to look at the malacha of Kaysev, there's plenty of gemaras in Kaysev. Unlike some of the other malachas that had the very half lines in the middle of nowhere, here you have almost an entire parak of Abayin, and most of the parak deals with the malacha of Kaysev. One would think that would be the place to start. Of course, that's not the place to start. That's not where we're going to start. We're going to start the Malach of Kaysev from our left field. We're going to start the Malach of Kaysev from a Gemara that appears in the beginning of Maseches Gittin. But we know Maseches Gittin. We spent a lot of time on... We skipped it? Okay, skipped it. No. I think we spent a lot of time on it. Me too? No. We did. I think we messed up. So comes the Gemara in Maseches Gittin with the following startling Chiddush. The Gemara is talking about the milas of Eretz Yisrael, all the different dinim, special unique dinim of Eretz Yisrael, and then the Gemara is talking about the special unique dinim of Surya. Surya is that area of Eretz Yisrael that's not really Eretz Yisrael. It was called Kibush Yochid, it was conquered by David HaMelech, like it did. Oh, we're not learning the details right now, but the reason why the Gemara is talking about all these topics is because the Gemara is commenting on the first mission of Gittin. It talks about a maybe get, maybe dina sayam, what are the different halachas if a person brings a get from Eretz Yisrael, chutzlar, Surya, etc. So in the middle of that whole discussion about Eretz Yisrael and Surya and chutzlar, so the Gemara quotes the following halacha, that if a person wants to buy a field, wants to buy land from a goy in Eretz Yisrael, or in that matter for Surya also, which is partially like Eretz Yisrael, so he's permitted to buy the land even on Shabbos. The goy is selling his land dafka on Shabbos. So there's a tremendous need to get this land out of the goyish hands. That's an important mitzvah, mishimisha, Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, one is permitted to do something which would otherwise be a violation of Chilul Shabbos. And the lashon of the brayis is, kaisev alavayna filu b'shabbos. You can write up the shtai, you can write up the document, even on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, what are you kidding? I mean, we love Eretz Yisrael. It's very important. We're all for the Keren Kayemet Le'Yisrael. You know, we like buying land in Israel. But Tachas, you can't be Mechal Shabbos, you can't write on Shabbos. It's a Melacha Deraisa. Tachas, the Gemara even dreamed that you could write a shtar on Shabbos just to buy a land. So the Gemara says, no, it doesn't mean you are going to write the shtar. It means you're going to instruct the non-Jew. You're going to bring your non-Jewish lawyer with you, your non-Jewish agent with you. They're going to write up the documents for you. They're going to sign the name for you. They're going to do all the ksivas. So normally that would be a problem. Mir Yaakov is normally a problem. But this Issa of Mir Yaakov, Chazal lifted. Why did they lift the Yisrael of Mir Yaakov? Normally it's an Yisrael of the Rabbanan. Mishum Yishev Eretzol Agaz V'Rabbanan. Because Yishev Eretzol is so important, they lifted the otherwise Yisrael of Amir Yaakov. What's the great mitzvah of Yishev Eretzol over here? So the Goyal owned the land. Why is that so important? Mishum Yishev Eretzol. So the Ramban has a comment in Sefer HaMitzvahs. It appears a little bit of a special Kiddush also, but in Sefer HaMitzvahs. But the Ramban points out there are certain mitzvahs that the Rambam left out. The Ramban critiques the Rambam for leaving them out. So one of those mitzvahs is the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramban explains that there's a mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael. It's one of the Tayyag mitzvahs. And the Ramban says there are two parts of this mitzvah. There's one part of the mitzvah, which is a mitzvah which is Mutelas on the Tzibur. The Klai Yisrael as a whole have to make sure that Eretz Yisrael belongs to Klal Yisrael. And that's an important thing, that there should be Jewish control over Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban even gives a mashal. The Ramban says, what would the din be? Let's say if the entire Jewish people one day would decide, you know, Eretz Yisrael, it's not the greatest place to live, it's a dangerous neighborhood, maybe we should pick up and go somewhere where it's a little quieter, a little safer. So the Ramban writes, we'll pick up the whole yeshuv and we'll move to somewhere in Africa. It's quiet in Africa, no one will know we're there, no one's going to bother us. We'll go to the middle of Africa somewhere and we'll set up shop there. And everyone will come to learn Eretz Yisrael. They'll come to Eretz Yisrael, they'll come to Africa now. So it'll be Gavaldik, we Meridik. And just why Kola moved to Africa. Everything will be in Africa. So what will be so tefelach? So the Ramban writes, that'll be a bitul mitzvah for the Araisa. That's exactly what the Torah says you're not allowed to do. If you read Vel Rashtim, Vel Shaftim, but the Klal Yisrael have to inhabit Eretz Yisrael as a whole. If Klal Yisrael would ever set up shop, set up a government, set up a country, set up a nation anywhere outside of Eretz Yisrael, they would be in violation of that Issa the Araisa, that mitzvah the Araisa of Klal Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael as a whole. Chavis HaTzibur. But it's interesting that of all places in the world, so the Ramban picked on Africa. He could have said Spain, he could have said Australia, he could have said Hawaii, he could have said California, a lot of places. He picked on Africa. So Mustafa the Ramban had Ruch HaKadosh, that a few hundred years after the Ramban, so that was like a plan on the table. That in the beginning of the 1900s, so they were trying to figure out where to put Klal Yisrael. So when the idea came that they wanted to come back to Eretz Yisrael, so the world was pummeling. Where should we send them? Where should we send them? They're in Palestine, man, that's a good place. So we'll stick them somewhere else. So one of the suggestions was we'll stick them in Uganda, in the middle of Entebbe. We'll give them Entebbe, in the middle of Africa. So So there was tachlit discussion. So in the Zionist movement of the early 1900s, they were poopling about that. I don't think anyone brought the Ramban as a raya, but this Ramban was a raya against that plan. Okay, good. Anyway, so getting back, Baruch Hashem, the plan was defeated. We ended up in Eretz Yisrael. Otherwise, it would have been very, very humorous saying I'm going to shut a bet in Uganda. Okay? All right. Okay. And then when you, I guess, Ben Asman, you go to Kenya, I don't know, whatever, you would be different, a whole new experience. Okay, anyway, getting back to the story. And so then the Ramban says, and the second half of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, not just the Chayves HaTzibor, but it's the Chayves HaYochid as well. It means everyone should try to live in Eretz Yisrael. That's also part of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramban writes, and trying to prove to you how important Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is. So the Ramban says, and that's why Chazal always referred to this, Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Whenever Chazal used the phrase, Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, the eyes are towards this pasuk in Parshas Maasei, the mitzvah, the arayis of being Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah of a tzibur being in Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvah of Kol Yachad V'Yachad being in Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramban refers to this Gemara in Daf Ches, that says that to fulfill this wonderful mitzvah of Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, Chazal lifted the Yisr from Mir Yaakov. But, so that's what the Gemara is referring to in Daf Ches. They lifted the Yisr Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So comes the Or Zeruah, and he quotes the name of one of the Rishen Rabbeinu Yoel. Rabbeinu Yoel, who was the father of? Rav Yoh. Okay, Rav Yoh was Rabbeinu Yoel's son. So he calls the name of Rabbeinu Yoel, who was very bothered with this Gemara. This Gemara in Gittin Lechera sticks out like a sore thumb in terms of the whole sugya of Amir Yaakov. Everybody knows that Amir Yaakov is a pretty serious Isser. I mean, maybe it's not the highest level of the Rabbanans, you know, it's a Shvash Eim HaMaisa. Okay, it's true. We saw certain limitations of the Isser of Amir Yaakov, but by and large, Amir Yaakov was a pretty serious business. Take this Isser with a great degree of seriousness. And for Keret, says Rabbeinu Yoel, we have no precedent in other mitzvahs that Chazal lifted Amir Yaakov to perform other mitzvahs. Not only do we not have any precedent for that, but we have precedent for care. We have Gemaras that seem to indicate that Chazal did not lift the Isser of Amir Yaakov just down to perform a mitzvah. What Gemara did Rabbeinu Yoel have in the back of his mind? The famous Gemara in Ervin of Samaches. The famous Sugya in Ervin, we spoke about this during the reading week of last semester. So the Gemara in Ervin talks about the following Shaila. We're about to do a bris milah, and all of a sudden we notice that there's no water. What do you need water for a bris? I was at a bris this morning, there was no water. What do you need water for? You need hot water to wash down the baby, the Mishnah says. In the olden days, you had to wash the baby down before the bris, and if not, so you couldn't do the bris. It was considered to be dangerous. So the Beis Yosef writes that that din doesn't apply to Zman HaZeh. We assume that that's not such a great need anymore. Chazal and everyone was sake, and you have to wash the baby with water. In the days of Chazal, that was considered to be the medical protocol. Zman HaZeh, Nishtanu HaTvayim, for whatever reason, it's not necessary, and therefore we don't bother doing it anymore. In the days of the Mishnah, it was necessary to do it. So comes the Mishnah and says, that comes the Gemara and says, what if you have a bris on Shabbos? So you have to prepare the water from before Shabbos. What if you forgot to prepare the water from before Shabbos? Now what do you do? So the Gemara tells a story. They had water and the water spilled. Somebody drank with the tea. They drank with the soup. The Maisa, there's no water. Tachlis, come Shabbos morning. Baruch Habu. Literally, Baruch Habu. The baby, okay? So, this Shabbos, one of my daughter's Parsha sheets in second grade, so they learned about Aviyom HaShmini Yom B'Sar HaLoso. So one of the questions was, why do we say Baruch Haba when the baby comes in for a bris? I had no idea. So she said, anyone know why? Because welcoming the baby, Baruch Haba. So she said, no, because the gematria of Haba is 8. So it's the 8th day. Okay, maybe, I don't know. You come along the Hezkalti, I have to stand up my daughter. I don't know, HaKiddush. Okay, so... yeah. What was I saying? Oh yeah. Oh, so we wake. We come to the bris. Baruch Hashem. Here we are in the morning. We're all ready to get to do the bris. The mall is ready. Everyone's ready. All of a sudden, they realize there's no water. Gavalt, what do you do? So the Gemara comes up with a wild plan. You have to go check out that maybe the mother just needs some water. Why would the mother need some water? She just had a baby last week, so maybe she's not feeling so well. Maybe she needs up some cup of hot tea. She needs some hot water to wash herself. She has some kind of a great tzarech. And she's a chayla, she ain't besakon. It's already within the month of having a baby. A person qualifies as a chayla, she ain't besakon. And the Amir Yaakov, we know, was lifted for a chayla, she ain't besakon. So we go to ask the mother, you know, would you like some hot water? Do you feel that you need some hot water? And hopefully the answer is going to be yes. Why? Because if the answer is yes, then we're going to go tell the guy, by the way, go fill up some hot water for her. How much water does she need? She needs a cup of water. So we're going to tell the guy, shh, fill up a whole bucket of water because we're going to use the extra water for the bris milah. So the Gemara says, if you look out and the mother needs water, then the bris will go on. And the mashmos on the Gemara is, is that if the mother taka doesn't need the water, she says she's feeling just fine, thank you. So then we're not going to be able to heat up the water. And what's going to happen to the bris? We're not going to have the bris today. So comes Rabbeinu Yoel and says, you see from the pashas in that Gemara, is that why can't we just ask the goy to heat up the water? Forget about the mother. Who has to care when the mother needs the water to drink? Just have the goy heat up the water. Zeman Fanda, you can't do that. You can't just stop asking a goy to heat up water for a bris. Why? Because it's a real yakum. They didn't lift the mitzvah de rabbana just to perform the mitzvah bris milah. So comes Rabbeinu Yoel and says, so I don't understand. The Gemara says in Daf Ches that they put a mil yachum on a Issa Dereis of Ksiva. They let you write on Shabbos Ayadei Goy for that great mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. It's not even living, I'm living there already. If I'm buying another piece of land from the Goyim, why is that more of a mitzvah than Brisbane? Brisbane is a pretty important mitzvah. Koreis, Tichus, Yigibu Brisos, Rashis Lech, there's a lot of important things about Brisbane. And you see, Chazal didn't lift a mil yachum. He only permitted it if you have a tzarech echoyla. So says Rabbeinu Yoel, that Gemara in the Sabbeches forces us to reevaluate the Gemara in Daf Ches. You cannot take the Gemara in Daf Ches on face value. You have to look at it through the eyes of Erev in Sabbeches. As we said many times, that's how we should have learned Gemara. They looked at the Gemara in Daf Ches and Gittin, and looked at it, and said, it can't mean what it says. It's impossible. It can't be. The Gemara in Erev is beferish against it. So what does the Gemara mean? Oh, so comes Rabbeinu Yoel and says, I'll tell you what the Gemara means. You can only understand that Gemara in the Gemara in Gittin through the eyes of another Gemara in Erevin, also on the same Amud, same Daf. Another Amud, same Daf. So comes the Gemara in Erevin, tells another story. One tells a story about at one time Taka, there was no water. They prepared the water spilled, and they asked the guy to carry the water directly, not through from the mother. They asked the guy to carry the water. But we just said 2 minutes ago that they couldn't ask the guy to heat up the water. So what heter was there to ask the guy to carry the water? So yeah, do him a first on the answer. The older Rishonim give is what? That they didn't ask the guy to carry the water through a Rishis Haram Deraisa. They asked the guy to carry the water through a Carmelist, through a Chatzah and a Revis, areas that are only prohibited to carry Midrabanan anyway. Thus, was given birth to what famous klal? It's a not Gemara. That's one half line of the Gemara where the Gemara says that they permitted to ask the goy to carry the water, presumably through an area that's on the Rabbanan. What's this, the formulation? What famous klal? This is it, Rabbi Yisai. This is the marker for Shvus, the Shvus. So comes Rabbeinu Yoel and learned Maseches Erevin before he got to Maseches Gittin. And he had both of these Gemaras in front of him. One Gemara is clearly indicating that you can't ask the goy to heat up the water, because otherwise why the Gemara have to bend over backwards to have it the tzarech of the mother. The second Gemara is that you are permitted to ask the guy to carry, it must be an area that's only been to Rabbanon. Put two together, Zeman for no, the Shvus the Shvus Mochamit was Mitter, but a regular Mir Liachim on a Derais is also. So in light of those two Gemaras, now what do you do with the Gemara in Gittin? So the Gemara in Gittin says that he asked the guy to sign his name, to sign the Shtar, and that's okay. Zakhtar bin Yoel, it must be that what? There's only one way to make sense to this Gemara. It must be what? It must be that what you're asking the guy to do is only an Issa D'Rabbanan in the first place. It's only an Issa D'Rabbanan. This is not what the Lama Test Mavachas. Koy save. Writing on Shabbos Zodim D'Rabbanan. Anukula. Writing on Shabbos Zodim D'Rabbanan. Zakhtar bin Yoel, it must be that the type of writing that you're asking the guy to do is only a D'Rabbanan Dika writing. Vusva D'Rabbanan. Wait, he's writing with chicken gravy or something? He's writing Edom Iskayim, he's writing with his left hand. What kind of Dirabanan is it? Says Rabbeinu Yoel, I'm thinking. Here's the answer. What language is the Shtar being written in? It's a document between the Jew and the Goy. It's something written in Lashon HaKodesh. When I sell Chometz 2 weeks from now, Mr. Brown, it's written in English. Mr. Brown, he's very smart, Mr. Brown. He knows a lot about Chometz, but he doesn't know how to read Hebrew. So when I write a document with a guy, it's going to be in English, it's going to be in Arabic, it's going to be in Greek. Uh-oh, man, I didn't say Greek. It's going to be in French, it's going to be in Japanese, whatever language they're going to be talking. So comes Rabbeinu Yoel and says, you're writing in another language? An unbelievable chiddush just emanates from this Gemara. That a kreise b'shak sovim is only a midirabanan. The issa d'arais of writing on Shabbos is only when you write b'ksav ashuris, when you write in Hebrew, you write in Lashon HaKodesh, that's a language, that's acceptable, that's been a Torah. Everything else is only midirabanan. Ad kan d'vrei Yoel. Wow, Kerpitz is unbelievable chiddush, but you have to see the background of what forced him to say this, because he was so bothered with these two Gemaras in Maseches Erev. So come other Rishonim and say that this is not correct. First and foremost, Balei HaTosfos, Tosfos Maseches Gittin Daf Ches, and Tosfos Bava Kama, Tosfos in a few places says the same Yesod. Tosfos says the conclusion of Rabbeinu Yoel is not correct. The whole Shachvat Torah, Rabbeinu Yoel, is not correct. The whole problem, what prompted Rabbeinu Yoel to come to this unbelievable Mechudashic conclusion, was he was so bothered by the fact that the Shavuos B'Mochel Mitzvah is mutter, whereas Amir Liachom B'Mochel Mitzvah is aser. These were the two principles that were the guiding lights for Rabbeinu Yoel. Comes to us and says, these two principles are 100% true, 99% of the time. Maybe the principles are true in Maseches Erevin, but not all mitzvahs are created equal. There are some mitzvahs that Chazal lifted even a merely Yaakov for, even on deraisas. They let you ask a goy to do an outright deraisa. It's such an unbelievable mitzvah. It's a really, really important mitzvah, and they permitted even deraisas. Now, it's very hard to think, what could be a greater mitzvah than Bris Milah? I mean, Bris Milah's got to be up there. It's an unbelievable mitzvah. I got a greater mitzvah, Zoch Teizvus. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Getting that land away from the goyim, that's a great, great mitzvah. More important than going and eating a bagel for, and lox for breakfast. Much, much more important. And therefore, says Teizvus, you can't ask me a kasha from the Gemara's in Erev and Dav Samachas, the Gemara in Gittin Dav Ches. How come in Samachas we didn't permit Amir Yachim and Dera Isis, whereas in Gittin we are? Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is different. But says Teizvus, what are we talking about in Dav Ches and Gittin? Are we talking about a Dera Isis? Of course we're talking about a Dera Isis. We're talking about Kesef. It wasn't even Eila al Hadas. Vali Taisa sitting around and writing this Taisa is getting the Ches. In their wildest dreams, they never thought that writing in other languages is the Rabbanan. Why would anybody in the million years say such a thing? For emphasis, Kasha from getting for Erevin. Taisa says the Kasha is Nishkin Kasha. So the emissaries, those who are with us in the Shurim during the break in the wintertime, so may very well remember that there are many Rishonim who wouldn't have asked the Kasha. Bechlal, you know, Tosus asked Akasha, and we're forced to say, well, what was the equation of Tosus? How's it going to look like? Not the equation. What's more important? No, wrong way, right? Okay, where's what's his name? Right? What's more important? Eretz Yisrael, okay? Whatever it is. Eretz Yisrael, more important than Mila. That's according to Tosus, okay? We shouldn't be confused there. If you had a great mathematical skills. Okay. So nobody says Taisus. It's a good kasher of any last. Taisus was Gairis the kasher from Erevin Dav Samachas, but this conclusion, this statement, was able to deflect the kasher, not needing us to come to the radical conclusion of Rabbeinu Yoel. The Rishonim Bechlau weren't Gairis the kasher, because the Rishonim had a different shot in the Gemara Erevin Legamre. The Rishonim said these principles are not true. That I'm really Yaakov and Mokal Mitzvah is what? Is mutter. Which great Rishon said this, you remember? V'alach is gedailus, right? I mean, the Bahag, the V'alach is gedailus, as quoted by Tosfos themselves, learned an entirely different Shah in the Gemara, that a merely Yaakov Mokal Mitzvah is mutter. Aye, what was the kasha with this? Who remembers? A little chazar, by say. What was the problem with this? If you say that a merely Yaakov Mokal Mitzvah is mutter, so what was the problem when it came to the water spilling in the first case? Why didn't they do what? Why did they have to bother doing agavime? Why did they have to ask the guy to heat up the water only if the mother needs it? Why did they just ask the guy to heat up the water directly? Right? That's what prompted Tosis. That's what prompted the Rabbeinu Yoel in the first place. What's the answer? But I say, what's the answer? Hachama Eskinon? They lived in New Square. There were no goyim. There was nobody around. There were only Jews around. So they had to ask a Jew to do it. Oh, you ask a Jew to do it. You can't do it. They're Isa Famila. Oh, they were only allowed to do it if the mother needed it. And what was the great hetzer if the mother needed it? You have to add something else to the story. No, little chazar, guys. What do you have to add to the story? It must have been tikuach nefesh. And what else do you have to add? Ribi b'shiurin. You're allowed to just stop add on for tikuach nefesh. Wow, that's already a whole chiddush gabi chiddush. But again, we're not learning ribi b'shiurin now. That was during the break. So Rabbi said, getting back to that story, we have three different approaches in the Gedalia Rishonim to how to make any sense of the Gemara in Gittin Daf Ches, where the Gemara is clearly being mocked at something, the Gemara in Erevin that's clearly putting the brakes on something. What conclusion do we draw? So Rabbeinu Yoel drew the most radical conclusion of all to say that writing in other languages is only Midrabanan. Tosfos said, nah, the Kash was a good Kash, but the conclusion was wrong, and Eretz Yisrael is more important than Mila. And the Baal Lachs Gedana said the Kasha was never Kasha, therefore there's no need for the conclusion. So Rabbi said, we know the dust settles, we're learning the Malach of Kaisi, we're not learning Erevin Samachas right now, we're not learning Rabbi Shirin right now. We are learning the Malach of Deraisa, or maybe the Rabbanan of Kaisi. So we now, in front of our very eyes, a machlekes and rishayim in between, Rabbi Yoel, what about the Arua, against who? Everybody else. Ben Yoel and the Azarua claiming that Shar Ksavim is the Rabbanan, and Taisvis, and everyone who goes big with Taisvis, Shar Ksavim are the Araisa. So everybody say, now we begin Esrika. This is all the introduction. Now we begin Esrika. Oh, we're getting there. So this sugya is really a pella, because you can learn Masechet Gittin of Ches and spend a lot of time pilpulim Rabbein Yol and the other Rishonim, and then you learn Masechet Shabbos. You open up a Mishnah, and what does the Mishnah say? Kuf Gimel Aleph. According to the Chaloshim Chayev, the Mishnah says you write in any language you Chayev. Sounds like a giveaway, like most of the Rishonim. How would Rabbein Yol respond to this? How would the Azarua respond to this? So the Prima Godim took a guess, an excellent guess. Says the Prima Godim, I think the answer is as follows. You have to be medayek, no pun intended, in the Lashon of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, that was a planned pun, it wasn't really planned as a pun, which is a silly pun. Hakaisev v'chol Lashon, a person writes in all the shyness is chayv. What does the word Lashon mean? What does Lashon mean? Language. Is there any Yol talking about languages? What was there any Yol talking about? What was Azarua talking about? He was talking about the Shark Sovim, I think is the correct word on the board here. Shark Sovim Derabonon. There's a difference in language and the alphabet. Kich Savam Vichil Shainam Vichil Shainam Vishanam. Remember that? There are Ksovim and there are languages, and the two don't necessarily go hand in hand. Now, most of the time they do. For example, these are Hebrew words. In Hebrew script, not really Hebrew script, but, you know, make-believe Hebrew script. Shark, Sovim, Deraisa. Then I have an English word. Everybody is an English word with English characters. But you can sometimes mix and match. So let's say, for example, I would like to write, just for argument's sake, right? I would like to write an English word, but I want to use Hebrew characters. Why would anybody do such a silly thing? Has anyone ever seen such ridiculous things? Let's say for some silly reason, somebody would want to write the following. I don't know why. That's so silly. Bronx, New York. If you're getting married in the atrium, in the marina, it's not so silly, right? Who got married there recently? Okay. Bronx, New York. So that's it. I mean, it's not even the English word. This Bronx is a Dutch, no? I don't know where it came from. Whatever it is. New York, okay? New York. Those are English words, and you're writing them in Hebrew characters. So comes the people of God and says, that's what the Mishnah is talking about. It doesn't really matter what languages you're writing. You have to use Hebrew characters. So for example, let's say you were deciding to write Sefer Bereishis, right? You want to know, am I chayef writing the first word in Bereishis or not? So if I would write Beis, Reish, Aleph, Shin, Yutof, I wrote in Hebrew characters, Ksav Ashuris, and I wrote Hebrew words. But what if I write as follows? If I write, in the beginning. So what's the halacha? I wrote in the beginning. So according to Ben Yol, that's not a deraisa, because the characters that I'm using, the Torah doesn't accept these characters. In the beginning, I-N-T-H-E, that didn't exist in the days of Matan Torah. Kadosh Baruch Hu never gave chashivas to those. There's some Anglo-Saxon somewhere running around. Where's Ben? Where do you go? Who made up the characters before the Anglo? The Romans? I don't know. Who made these letters? Where'd they come from? You weren't Romans? No. Nobody knows anything? Okay. So these letters, the Torah wasn't. Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't know what these letters are. These letters don't exist. They're not halachic letters. So that's meaningless. But what if somebody would write the following? Well, somebody would write, they want to write in the beginning, in the beginning. Okay, in the beginning, okay? So in the beginning, I wrote English words, but I wrote Hebrew characters. After people got them, then I would be chayv. So when it says, it's not referring to the Ksav, it's referring to the Lashon. Now, the truth is, it's a fascinating shot in Rabbeinu Yol and Azarua. It would put the Azarua Ben Yol directly opposed to which Rishonim? To Rashi and the Rambam, because in Rashi and the Mishnah comments on Chol Lashon, Rashi speaks about the Gufas, the Gufa Isias, talks about the character of the letters. The Rambam writes before, Shakaisi b'choloshen v'choksav. So the Rambam addresses specifically this issue and says that it's irrelevant, that it's not true. It doesn't really matter what letters you use, whether the characters are English, the words are English, yechayev no matter what. So it would be a very interesting pshat. It would be a viable pshat in the Orzerua, the Rabbeinu Yonah. It really would explain everything. It would explain that the shtar that's being written, Dav Ches, in Masechet Gid, is takat derabonim de shtar, because it's being written for argument's sake in English characters, whatever characters they're using, whereas the Mishnah is talking about Hebrew characters, albeit with English words. It's a beautiful pshat, it's a viable pshat, but as the Be'er Halacha points out, the Halakha of Prima Gadol didn't have an Erzeruah, because the Erzeruah was sitting in some manuscript somewhere for hundreds of years, hiding in some basement somewhere in Europe, so the Erzeruah was never actually seen by the Prima Gadol. The Prima Gadol is quoting Rishonim, according to this Erzeruah, according to Rabbeinu Yoel. But the Be'er Halacha says in the last 150 years or so since the people got them, I've been zoichet actually see the Erzeruah inside. Baruch Hashem, we have been zoichet to have the Erzeruah printed in our days. And says the Be'er Halacha, I looked in the Erzeruah, and the Erzeruah himself negates this pshat. The Erzeruah himself says the favorites that this pshat is not correct. What does the Erzeruah say? So the Erzeruah goes on, quoting Rabbeinu Yoel, and says, where did I get this from? Just from a Gemara in Gittin Daf Ches, that's my whole raya for the Sol Shechu Torah. No, I got it from somewhere else. I got it from Yerushalmi. Famous Yerushalmi, put it in Yerushalmi in the Maimon Keres. The famous Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says on the Mishnah, Hakaisi b'chalosh and chayiv, Nuvishtei in Yerushalmi, Filu kos of what? Aleph Alpha, Beis Beta, Yechayiv, says Yerushalmi. That's what the Mishnah means, Hakaisi b'chalosh. You're writing alpha, beta, gamma. What does that mean, says the Be'er Halacha? What the Rishalmi is saying is that Hakaisi b'choloshen doesn't mean b'choloshen, mamish, koloshen, loshen, loshen, Japanese, Chinese, French, English. No, it means there are chayiv and other lashonis in addition to loshen hakaidish, in addition to ashuris. What's the other language that you're chayiv for? Greek. You're chayiv if you write Greek. And that's the pshat in the Mishnah, Kaiseh Bechol Lashon. Bechol doesn't mean Hakol Mikol Kol, it just means one additional language, an added language, the most prominent added language in the ancient world, Yechayiv, if you write in Greek. That's pshat in the Mishnah, Kaiseh Bechol Lashon. So Zok Tebi Halacha, if the Prima Gadim is right, that Kaiseh Bechol Lashon is really referring to other Lashonis, albeit in the Ksav Ashuri, then why did Yerushalmi get so tzaflagin? Why did Yerushalmi have to bend over backwards and say B'chalosha means Greek? No, B'chalosha means all the shyness, provided that they're in Hebrew characters. So the fact that Yerushalmi had us give this dochik, it's such a dochik pshat. I mean, it's not for the Halakha Amoraim of Eretz Yisrael. I in a million years wouldn't have said such a pshat. B'chalosha means Greek. B'chalosha means Japanese, Chinese, French means everything. No, from the fact that the Rishami had to bend over backwards and make it a kimta, the Mishnah is talking about Greek, you see clearly the Prima Gadim shtikl Torah to the French who think Sov and Lashon is not correct. So when all the dust settles, it's a nice shtikl Torah, but it's not true. The emes lamit pshat of Rabbeinu Yoel and the Yerzeruah is not shak Sov and the Rabbanon, almost shak Sov and the Rabbanon, chutz me yavani. Greek somehow snuck in there. Greek is yechayevon. Greek yechayevon. Based on what? You want to tell me the extreme view, the only chayv and ksav ashuri, only that's the language, that's the ksav that the Torah recognizes, those are the ksav of Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzahs, that's what the Torah meant when it says don't write on Shabbos. I can buy that. It's a chinish, but I can buy it, I can hear it. You want to tell me that the malach of kesev is whatever each language, each nation defines as ksav, that's chayv, I can buy that also. Two extreme shitas I can always understand, but the middle shita, to tell me that not only Hebrew, but even Greek. For what? Where did Greek come from? Man ishtan a Greek from other language. So what's the answer, by say? Famous Gemara Maseches Megillah. The Gemara says that we have precedent for that. The Gemara learns out, at least according to one opinion of the Gemara, unbelievable chiddush, you could write a Sefer Torah in Greek. Write a Sefer Torah in Greek? What are you crazy? Sefer Torah, there's Nir Ksivas, Ha'isi, it's got to be a Din, a Kedush Sefer Torah, it's a Din Daraisa. You can learn Pasha Zohar, you can learn Hakaf. What are you kidding? You write it in Greek. You can write a Sefer Torah in English? What are you crazy? So the Gemara, what's the Pasuk? A Drasha. I'm not a Tana, I'm not an Amora, but the Halakha Tanaim Amoraim, they dashim, so they had this understanding, the depths of the mysteries of the Torah to see in this Pasuk in Pasha Zohar, Yaf Telekim Le'yefes V'yishkan Be'ol Hashem. That pasuk, again, that pasuk is not written in a halachic context. It's a bracha that Noach is giving some brachas to some of his kids, kolos to all of his kids. Yafta lakim liyafas vishkan b'ol l'shem. So comes the Gemara and says, zemen fundo adin l'deiris, that the afuso shall yafas yeh b'ol l'shem. But the beauty of Yefes, and Yavin is among the descendants of Yefes, and apparently they're the only ones who had a beautiful anything to contribute. So Yafta Lakim Le Yefes, Vishka Be'ol Hashem, is a Din De Raisa, you can have the Yafuso Shal Yefes and the Ol Hashem, and it could be a Kosher Sefer Torah based on that. Yet, in a million years I wouldn't have said that. Zoshte in the Gemara. So comes Rabbi Yoel, comes Yozarua, and claims with Asa Yerushalmi, but that's why Yavani is different. And that's what the Mishnah means. Wow, when you read this Mishnah, who here read this Mishnah, Kuf Gimel Rav? Actually, when you read this Mishnah, that's what you thought, right? Hakosei b'chol loshon eschayiv, you thought it meant Yevani, and you thought it's referring to the Gemara in Maseches Megillah, that Ksav Yevani says different exeris hakosev. I didn't think this, but Rabbi Yoel did, and the Azarua did, and there were a group of Rishonim who actually thought this way. And what prompted them to learn this whole razzle dazzle shekotayim was that Gemara in Gidav Ches. That was the catalyst of the whole story. So all the other Rishonim were saying the Hoyu Dvar Me'olam, the Gemara Gittin never meant it, either like the Baha'i or like Tosfos. They never came to such a radical conclusion. It's not true. Shark Sofmer, the Araisa, everybody, everything's the Araisa. Hebrew, English, Greek, Arabic, Chinese, Japanese, you name it, everything is Chayav the Araisa. There's no such thing. The Gemara in Gittin is totally irrelevant. When the Mishnah says a Kaisa B'chaloshin Chayav, it means the Pshuta Kivashmo. Everything is, the whole Gemara is in Gittin, don't mean anything. All writing is the Araisa. We have two very, very different approaches when we show them. One is a very, very mechudishtik way of understanding what Kaisev is all about. Some very, very unique ideas of carrying over Gemaras from Megillah about Yaftal Kibbutz Yafas. Somehow that's impacting on Hilchos Kaisev B'Shabbos. That's what the Rishonim meant, that's what the Baal meant. A very, very mechudishtik way appears to be the opinion of Rabbi Yoel and the Azarua. And then you have Tosfos and Rashi and the Rambam and everybody else before, after, and in between. We're saying the whole thing never happened, never was such a thing. All Ksav Madir Aisa.
According to Rabbi Yoel or Zerua, also when you read Hebrew characters, it's Ksav Ashuris with writing the Shal Shonas, it's also Duraisa. It's also Darabana. In the beginning that we were saying, that's also Darabana, the Emes and Shadim, the real
Pshat?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean if you write in the beginning, would that be Chayav? I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know.
It's like
I don't know. The Baisai. There's one still loose thread. There is a Yerushalmi that said something about this topic. Yerushalmi did comment on the Mishnah, Kaisi B'chaloshon, Aleph, Alpha, Beis, Beta. That got the Or Zeruah and the Rebbeinu Yoel rolling, that Greek is somehow different. According to everybody else, what was the significance of that statement? Aleph, Alpha, Beis, I need a Yerushalmi to tell me how to say the ABCs in Greek. Nobody else knew Greek. Nobody knew how to speak Greek. So from, nobody went to Greek. No one took classic languages. No one knew how to speak Greek. Mary Yaakov knew how to speak Greek. It was before he knew how to speak English. He was already knew of a babysitter. He used to be the Greek lady in the building. He lived in the Heights. So he used to claim he was a year old. So he used to sing these like little Greek lullabies or something. So he used to always quote the Gemara about Hanukkah time. You invite him to our life. So Rabbi Sai, I said, what's Yerushalmi talking about? Aleph, Alpha, Beis, Beta. Gimel, Gamma, T, Delta, Epsilon, as far as I know. Iota. What? It goes further? I don't know. I guess it goes further. Okay. I don't know. Z, Zua, I don't know. I don't know what it is. Okay. What?
Data.
There you go. Okay. A resident Greek scholar. Okay. Rabbi Sai, bottom line, Tachlis. With all the Torah Ma'at, the bottom line is, we need the Rishalmi for. I could have figured it out without the Rishalmi how to say the ABCs in Greek. So what's the Aleph, Alpha, Beis, Beta that comes to teach me? So comes the Bre'al Locha and says, maybe all the other Rishonim had legamrei to Rishat and Rishalmi. Rishalmi wasn't coming to minimize when Yechayev. Hakosi b'chol Loshon. So the Loshon of the Mishnah sounds like maximal Pshat. Yechayev in all languages, and the Rishalmi saying, no, only Greek. Says the Bre'al Locha, the opposite is true. That the Rishalmi is not coming to minimize when Yechayev, the Rishalmi is coming to maximize when Yechayev. The Rishalmi is coming to tell you a Chiddush that I would have thought maybe an achaya for Aleph Alpha, whatever that means, for Beis Beit, whatever that means, Kamash Malon, Yushami, that you are achaya. And that's in fact Agirsa and Yushami. What's the key word in Yushami? In Agirsa? Afilu Aleph Alpha. According to the Zerua, you can't have the word Afilu Aleph Alpha. That doesn't make any sense. Davka Aleph Alpha. But according to Argus Nishami, a filu alpha alpha, that you even chayefa alpha alpha, what do the words mean? So the Be'alocha has two suggestions. One suggestion is, maybe it means like this. Maybe it means that somebody wrote the word aleph before. The word's there. I wrote it on Friday afternoon. The word's there already. And now I put an aleph at the end of the word aleph. So I have an aleph lamafei, and I throw another aleph at the end. Did I accomplish anything? Was that a meaningful letter? The word was there already. What did I add to the word? No, the Rishama says, I did add to the word. You know what I did? I changed the total meaning. It used to mean the word Aleph, the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and now I created a new word called the first letter in the Greek alphabet. And Beis, the same story. Somebody wrote Beis Yotof, and now I added on an Aleph at the end. Beta, ooh, that's a new word. I was Kaseh B'Shabbos. Maybe one would have thought that's not called Kaseh B'Shabbos. That's another problem. That's a Menatzbach sugiz in Habayna. That's Shem Shmuel sugiz. And then the Be'er Halacha says maybe the word is different. Maybe what the Rishama means is like this. You know, you have to be a Kaseh Shteisius to be Chayiv in Shabbos. What if you write one letter from one language and another letter from another language? Would you be Chayiv? So a person wrote like this. A person wrote Aleph A. Would you be Chayiv? Well, he wrote B. I don't know any other seven, except for Hebrew and English. What? Pi. How do you do that? Oh, like a pi. I mean, that. Okay. So B. Okay. B, yes, all right? So would I be chayav for that? Is that two different? Maybe one could argue there's no tziruf between the two. There's no connection between the two. So comes the Rishama and says, I feel well off. It doesn't matter. You wrote Beis Eisias, you're still chayav. So again, these are very, very, you know, I don't mean modern in a bad way, but a modern sense that the Be'er Halacha is coming up with these modern pshat that we never heard, we don't know what the Yerushalmi meant. We have a Yerushalmi written 2,000 years ago. We don't have any Rishon who's telling us what the Yerushalmi meant. Because the Rua was learning the Yerushalmi in one way to teach us this very, very limited pshat. Obviously, the other Rishon didn't buy that pshat in the Yerushalmi. They must have had some other pshat in the Yerushalmi, but we have no idea. For 1,500 years, no one said a pshat in the Yerushalmi. So the Be'er Halacha is guessing, maybe this is the Yerushalmi meant. Maybe that's what the Yerushalmi is. Not sure what the word in the Yerushalmi is. No, so I think if there are two words with you, Aleph, maybe you made Alpha Beta, so now you made, I guess, I don't know. What's the Halashim?
The
Yerushalmi's not going on that, you don't know what it's hard to know what the two tasks in the Yerushalmi's are. They don't even know two tasks to Bavli, they don't know anything where anything is. I don't think so. So when all the dust settles, we're still stuck with our Rishonim. Machlokes Rishonim, it revolves around the Rishonim, revolves around the Gemara in Gittin. So let's see, can we actually learn a Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Gimel? That would be a nice place to go. Is there any raya's from anything else in the sugyas of Kuf Gimel and Perek HaBayinah that we should shed some light on this Machlokes? So there is a Mishnah on Daf Kuf Gimel. When the Mishnah lists off all the details of what you're chayav for, what's considered to be kosev, so the Mishnah writes the following: Hakosev mishtei samanios chayav. We're just going to say shtei simanim, just make it easy for us. You write two simanim, you chayav. What is two simanim? What are the words? What do the words mean? So major machlokes Rashi in the Rambam, taich what the words mean. So Rashi says, what does shtei simanim mean? Simonim is a blush and samamonim. What is samamonim? Like different dyes, it's different colored inks. So, guy, we should be able to act this out. Where's the other? Yeah, another one? Oh, this is, we've been waiting the whole year for this. Rashi Shpiat coming to life. Wow. Over dramatization of Ashir. Okay. So, here a guy writes two letters. All right? Forget it. It's not so important. Okay? He writes two letters. Aleph, and now everyone just use your imagination. This is red, okay? This is black, and this is red. Oh, wait, oh! Unbelievable, wow. we're going to watch another malacha as we speak, Rabbi Say. Everybody, pay careful attention to another malacha taking place. Mochek, Hamanas, Lichtov. This is very exciting. That was very meaningful. Okay. So Aleph, Beis. Oh, wow. Comes Rashi and says Yechayev. Okay. Beis Amanias. Why in a million years would anyone have said that you're not Chayev? No idea. Okay?
There's no tziruf between
them. No tziruf. We've got to get to the lumbus later. We'll try to figure this out later. But this is Rashi's pshat. Shnei Simonim. So comes the Rashba and says, it's a fascinating pshat, but context-wise, it's not correct. You know why? Because the Mishnah Adav Kuf Gimel and Aleph is not even talking about the material that's being used in the dyes. Where is that Mishnah about the material used in the dye? Anyone know that's later on, the end of the prep, Kuf Dalam Rebeis. That's where the Mishnah starts pumpling about the guy writes, and the orange juice, and the Beperis, the Mashkin, the Turachim, the Avaksayim, the Avavishkayim. We learned a little bit about Dovashin, right? Ksavshal Kayama. That's on Daf Kuf Dalet. On Daf Kuf Gimel, we're not talking about the material that's in the ingredients of the dyes. We're talking about what's on the paper. Is it two ACS or not two ACS? Is it Cholosh or not the Cholosh? Is it Reshim? Is it Kaysim? So comes the Rashman and says, why all of a sudden in the middle of Daf Kuf Gimel, the wrong Sugya, the Gemara starts talking about different colored dye? Doesn't make any sense. Rashi's probably may be correct in terms of halakhically may be correct. It may be chayav, but that's not what the Mishnah is talking about. So what is the Mishnah talking about? So the Rambam has a different pshat, what the Mishnah is talking about. Simonim says the Rambam, already Rav Haigon said this, started the pshat already. The Rambam spells this out. What does Simonim mean? Simonim means a symbolic, something that's used as a symbol to indicate something. What's a symbol to indicate something? Give me an example of a symbol that indicates something. That's a symbol of something. When I look at this, imagine trying to read this, like try to sound it out. When I, other words, Aleph Beis, A B. I look at it and it doesn't have a sound to it. I don't know what, but I see that number and I know. Oh, that means there are how many guys are here? Five. Okay, that refers to 1, 2, 3 people. There are five people sitting in front of me. That number five is symbolic of a certain meaning to it. It's a symbolic meaning. That's what simon means, says the Rambam. What's the chiddush of the Mishnah? Not only are you chayev for writing the word av, but you chayev for writing what? The number 57. You chayev. You wrote beis simonim. You wrote two symbols. That's chashivas. That's a number. That's enough to be chayiv. That's like writing Beis Hashias. That's the Rambam's pshat. Oh, so Rabbi Say, let's analyze this Machlokes Rashi and the Rambam in light of the Machlokes that we've shown him about whether you chayiv for other languages or not. According to most of the Rishonim, the Rambam included, who hold that you chayiv for any language whatsoever, it doesn't have to be Ksav Ashuris. So then it's not such a far cry to say you chayiv for numbers also. Letters were made up by people, and numbers were made up. Who made up our numeral system? The Arabs made it up. So it doesn't matter whether you write 57. What if you write? So here we can thank the Romans. You have other. It doesn't matter. You wrote something which is agreed upon by society. By this culture agrees that this is a meaningful statement. This is a meaningful statement. This is about as meaningful. 4 and 57 is about as meaningful as an English word. Give me a word with two letters. It. Okay? It. So it means something because the Oilot Gezochted, it means something. So this means something because the Romans at Gezochted, it meant something. So one day, way, way back, thousands of years ago, a bunch of guys were sitting around eating pizza and they decided, oh, that's number 4. One day, a bunch of guys were sitting around, I don't know, digging for oil, whatever, and they came up with the idea, 57 means something. Get both of those lines off. Someone's going to accuse me of saying something that wasn't nice. I didn't say anything bad. This is a pizza and oil. Nothing bad. Okay. So everybody say, so all meanings, all words come about like this. It's a famous Ran in the Beis and Masechet Nedarim. When the Mishnah Nedarim speaks about Kinui Nedarim, Kinui Nedarim. If a guy takes a neder using a lashon of a kinui, what does a kinui mean? So a kinui means, I didn't use the formal official word, the word carbon. Carbon is the official Torah word. If a person wants to take a neder, so he wants to say that, say a guy wants to ask for this cup of water on himself. So what would he say? He would say this water should be like a carbon to him. That would be a lashon of a neder. Let's say a person doesn't use the word carbon. He uses a word that kind of sounds like carbon. He uses the word, what? Konam, right? Konam. If you ask most people in shul like kol nidre, what in the world that means when they get to the konam? It's the first mishnah. Konam is a mimic of the word carbon. So the Mishnah says, Kol kinui nedarim kinedarim, that if a person uses the lashon kainim, the ned is kal also. Why is the ned the kal? What kind of din is kal? Where did this kainim come from? Why don't people use the word carbon? That's the Torah's word, lesser Yisrael nacho. So the Gemara quotes a machlek nesamarayim. Who started the word konam? So Rabbi Yechanan says that konam was a corrupted word of lashon kodesh. People started, didn't speak lashon kodesh so clearly. So one guy said carbon, and this guy mumbled, and this guy said carbon. The next guy had marbles mouth, and the next guy said konam. But slowly but surely, that's how words developed. But it was just lashon kodesh that got messed up. Then Rish Lakish says no, it was a lashon shabadi chachamim. It was a lashon that the chachamim made. The chachamim made a takana not to use the word carbon. If you want to take a better, don't say the word carbon. Why? Because when people say the word carbon, they tend to say carbon lashem. That's the phrase, carbon lashem. So we don't want people saying shem hashem for no reason. So therefore, they instructed people. You want to take a name, they use the word kainim instead. Machlekes Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish. Where did the word kainim come from? Was it a corrupted lashon kodesh? Was it actually formulated as a din the midr rabban? So the Ran writes the vase was sechet vedarim. So yes, the kasha is there any nafkamin ladina between the two? So one could have argued that if it's corrupted lashon kodesh, maybe it's still called part of lashon kodesh. So it's a lashon, it's a neder deraisa. If it's only a lashon midirabanan, it doesn't really mean anything midirabanan. Maybe the whole neder is only bonding midirabanan. If a guy says the word is like a konim to me, if you'd ask my shaven, he wouldn't know what the word means. It's not a proper word. So maybe that's a chisorn and levati b'sfasayim. So the Ran says, no, it's ridiculous. The Ran says about the tzcham in a Torah. Why? He says, if you take a neder in English, of course the neder is chal min ha-Torah. Why is that? Because, what do you mean, that's not a lashon? It's not a dibur? He says, what gives words meaning? So the Ran has a phrase, haskamas kol uma va'uma. The fact that people accept it and use a word in a certain manner, so eventually that becomes the language. So as long as the olam uses this word in such and such a meaning, if the people use the word sacrifice, so either Torah doesn't use the word sacrifice, but the people use the word sacrifice. In English, it means sacrifice. It means a korban. So that's an accepted Torah word for a korban. So it comes around and says, Logora haskobas chazal mehaskobas kol uma v'uma. That's the Ran's presentation of how language evolves. That why should the Chachamim's takana be any less than the olam on the street? If people on the street can determine languages, if the slang develops as a language, eventually it lets the dictionary incorporate it as part of the English language. So if Chazal make a takona that this is part of language, or this is a new meaning of the word, the rabbis can also create language. So that's the same idea also, that if you hold, like most of the Rishonim, that the Torah says Yechai for Kaisei, for writing, that's the Av Malacha. What's called writing? What makes something writing? Why isn't this writing? Is that called writing? Some people sign their names like that. Is that called writing? This called writing? Is that called writing? Well, what's writing? I wrote two letters. I wrote this and this. So the answer is, I asked most people here, does anyone know what those things mean? No, they don't have any meanings. That's not a ksav. A ksav is supposed to express an idea in writing. That's what a ksav means. I make some kind of a picture, some kind of a representation of something, which will express an idea. When somebody looks at it, they'll be able to figure out what the idea is. That's the whole cup of writing. This doesn't mean anything. No one knows what you're talking about. You can have a lot of things in your mind, but no one knows what you're talking about. That's not called ksiv on Shabbos. But this is called ksiv on Shabbos. 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 It's not Lashon HaKodesh. It's not the ksav of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's not the ksav of Meshir Aveinu. So what? We're not writing Sefer Torah right now. We just want to violate, or try not to violate, the Issa Dirais of Kaisi B'Shabbos. You were Kaisi B'Shabbos. So according to most of the Rishonim, the Rambam has a viable shot. If it is Chayav, then 57 could be Chayav also. It's the same idea. It's the same basic idea. One's in numbers, one's a letter. What's the difference? There's nothing intrinsic to the letters IT either. IT indicates an idea. 5-7 indicates an idea.
What about the symbol which doesn't mean anything to you, but like it's in a different language, like in Chinese?
So that's already a detailed Shaila as to who is Kaveya when you go from place to place. Let's say, forget about Kesav, let's say languages. So the famous Mishnah says, you can say Kriyashma in Kholoshin. What if I'm standing in this room right now, and I say Kriyashma in French? No one here knows what I'm talking about. But I speak French. So is that called saying it Mecholoshin? Or maybe you should argue that a Loshin only has meaning Lefi also Mecholoshin that you're standing in. So that's a whole discussion about that. But the same thing should be true when it comes to Kesav. So basically, getting back to the story. So the Rambam's pshat in Simonim, fits in very nicely into the view of most of the Rishonim. Whereas according to Rashi's pshat, it's not shy after the discussion. Rashi is talking about what coloring you're using. But it's not doing anything. That's a different. That's part of the Rashi was right. That's part of the Mishnah Daf Kuf Dalet. That's part of how Shokayama, how normal it has to be, how tziruf it has to be. Those are different halachas b'chlal. The Mishnah Kuf Gimel was talking about the expression, the idea that you're expressing. The Mishnah Kuf Dalet is talking about what type of ink you're using. So according to Rashi, there's no relevance at all. But according to the Rambam, anyone who learns the Rambam out of the Sugya, the Rambam of Haigon, the Rashi, any Rishon who buys into the Rambam number 57 as being the correct shot in Semanim, the Ora has to buy into the idea that the Shark Sav is Chayiv. The Arzarua and the Rabbeinu Yoel cannot learn the Rambam's Pshat. The Arzarua and Rabbeinu Yoel must, they're forced to learn Rashi's Pshat. Any Rishon who holds the only Chayiv, the Ksav Ashuris, is Ora not going to be able to begin to advance the Rambam's Pshat. They're going to be forced into the corner to learn Rashi's Pshat, which will be a difficult Pshat textual. So basically, now that we just realized that this machlek is Rashi and Rambam about what Pshat in the word simonim is related, it doesn't mean Rashi has to learn the Ozeruah, it just means the Ozeruah has to learn Rashi. But once we come to the conclusion that these shalas are related to one another, so now we have to go back to this Mishnah on Daf Kuf Gimel and really learn the Mishnah a little bit more beyond. The Mishnah speaks about Kosev Shnei Simonim, right? Bei Simonim is Chayav. Remember that word in the Mishnah. Bei Simonim is Chayav, so we have Rashi. It refers to Tzvahim, different colors. We have the Rambam that refers to Sparim, to numbers. We have to analyze this and see who's right, Taka. Do we have any rayas from the Gemara? What the din should be?
Where is there a Rav who wrote numbers in Hebrew? It's like Beis Simonim. Like using Hebrew, Salashuris has numbers.
Even Beis Gimel Dav, the problem with Hebrew is that they're the same numbers and letters, they're the same thing.
So if you want to get out or whatever, would that be...
That's what the Mishnah. The Mishnah talks about Ksav Notikrin. Later on, the Mishnah talks about if you wrote the word. Right, those are for words, right. But for numbers.
No.
Pirush Mishnayos. He talks about 57. The Rambam writes in Pirush Mishnayos. No, doesn't he say the Pirush? Doesn't say 57, but he says. What does he say? Here's the Lashon Rav. Hulashin Ravim shall simon vim simon and question cosmic of them Aleph Shior al Echad Beishor al Shnaim b'chol Lashon b'chol Ksiva.
That's right.
Means whatever language in Ksiva he means refers to. If you live in an Arab country, so new Arab numerals.
Right,
but the Ozer will agree. Right. Maybe. So if I say, we have to go a little bit deeper into this sugya of Beis Simonim. So there's very little in the Gemara. Gemara doesn't say a word about it. That's the problem. But the Yerushalmi does have what to say about it. Today's the Yerushalmi day. The Yerushalmi takes this statement of the Mishnah, Kosev Shnei Simonim, which is Simonim, whatever it is, Chayav, and all of a sudden makes a link to another very cryptic statement in the Mishnah. What appears to be, appears to be Chayes Yosi in the Rabbanon about another question related to the Shabbos related to the Kosev called what? Called Roshem. Rabbi Yosi says that Roshem b'Shabbos is Chayav, and again, I'm saying what appears to be Pshat in the Mishnah. Apparently, the Rabbanon disagree that Roshem is not Chayav. What in the world is Roshem? So Roshem means, what does Roshem mean? Make a mark. Right. Make a mark on something. It's not a letter. I can't read it and say, CAT spells cat. It's not even a number that I see 5 and a 7. That means there are 57 people here today. Okay, better than yesterday, okay. But it's two scratches. Rashima Biyama, right? Or Shima Biyama. Rabbi Yossi seems to say, Yechif for that also. And Rabbi Yossi had to kind of prove himself that Yechayev. Rabbi Yossi felt like, compelled to show us, why is that Kaisev? That's not really Kaisev. Why Yechayev? So Rabbi Yossi had to bring a model back from where? Back to the Mishkan. She came Kaisev Akasha Mishkan. That's how they used to mark on the Mishkan. The whole Malach of Kaisev comes from the writing of the letters on the Kasha Mishkan. Who says they wrote Mamish letters? They just made little marks, little arrows, little whatever it was. So comes Rabbi Yossi and seems to say that Roshem is Chayav, and comes the Rabbanon and seem to say that Roshem is Potter. So comes the Rishalmi Who has a Lashon Rishami? Who has a Lashon Rishami on them? Up a little bit. Up a drop. Everything's going to hinge on this Rishami. Sakti Rishami. Man Tana Simanias. Who is the author of this Mishnah that says Beis Simanim is Chayav? Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi is the author of this Mishnah. In other words, Rabbi Yossi, who holds that Roshem is Chayav, he's the one who says Beis Simanim is Chayav, the implication being obvious, that if you disagree with Rabbi Yossi by Roshem, you're going to disagree with Rabbi Yossi, you're going to disagree with this Mishnah of Beis Simanim. Sisri Tan, what's the Gemara, what's the Yishami talking about? So Lechoma, according to the Rambam, Rishami reads the Kachan. But the Rishami is addressing is this basic question, namely, wait a second. Beis Simanim Chayev, Yechayev for writing 57. 57 is not an ois. The number 5 is not an ois. Kaisev means Ksivas Oisius. You have to write letters. So the Rishami is saying, how could the Mishnah say, sticking the Rambam's Pshat to the Mishnah Beis Simanim? How could the Mishnah say, Kaisev 57 is Chayev, is Nishkin Oisius? Oh, it must be that this din is assuming you don't really need Oisius to be Chayev. And who's the Tan who holds you don't need Oisius to be Chayev? There's only one Tana we have documented who holds you don't need Oisius to be Chayev. And who's that Tana? Rabbi Yossi. Oh, it must be that this unbelievable Chiddush at 57 is Chayev. You know why 57 is Chayev? Look at this, Rabbi Yossi. 57 is the same as what? It's like two marks. It's the same thing. It's no worse than two marks. According to the Yossi, you made any mark on a piece of paper, yeah, Chayev. Any mark on a piece of wood, yeah, Chayev. It's expressing some kind of an idea. It's not an oath, it doesn't matter. You saw this mark here, now you know what to do. This is the piece of wood that I need. You made a little mark on the edge of it. Now I know what to do with it. It's not a letter, I can't read it. It doesn't make up a word, it doesn't matter. It's you made a mark, you chayev, so 57 is like a mark. And any Tana who disagrees with Rabbi Yossi by Beis Rishimus is going to disagree with the Mishnah by Beis Simanim as well. So according to the Ram, at least Rishami makes sense. According to Rashi, you read the Rishami, according to Rashi, you have to scratch your head 20 times. What's the Rishami saying according to Rashi? Man Tana what? No. Man Tana Simanias. Who's the Tana who says, what does it mean according to Rashi? Who's the one who says, the Yechayah for writing in black and red? That must be Rabbi Yossi. Because according to the Rabbanan, that wouldn't be true. Because after all, it's only Rabbi Yossi who says the Yechayah even for Beis Rishimus. Only he could possibly be the Tana who says you're writing for Yechayah for writing black and red together. Indian Shemitah and Sassi, going to do each other. As the Rashba says so eloquently, one's talking about the characters that you're writing, one's talking about the ingredients inside the ink. What in the world is the connection to the two? According to Rashi, this Rishami B'chalal doesn't make any sense. If one wants to salvage Rashi's Pshat, if one feels that they have to follow this Rishami, I didn't say we have to accept this Rishami, but if you really, really want to salvage this Rishami and still stick to Rashi's Pshat, you have to come up with some unbelievable wild Chiddush. What's the unbelievable wild Chiddush? Going back to when we quoted Rashi's Pshat about Beis Simanim, we asked a question, right? What was that question? We asked the question, what do I need the Mishnah to tell me that? I couldn't have figured it out on my own. If I'm Chayev, with any color ink that I use, I'm Chayev. So why would I have thought that has to be the same color ink? Why would that have been necessary? Why would that have been important for somebody to think that I have to only write two letters in black? What's the point of the Rishon? What's the point of the Mishnah? So what'd you say? It has to be a what? It's be a tzirah. What does it mean it has to be a tzirah? What does that mean? When you're writing letters, so there has to be some connection. When you're writing a letter, I write an A over here, I write a B over here, so you need a whole sugya to try to figure out, are the two letters mitzuraf? Can I cut the board in half? Can I move left? There has to be a connection between the two. The idea of Ksivas Oisius is, Beis Oisius, Atzirif, it's like, one could have thought, and maybe one is right, that in the sugyas of Ksivas Oisius, in the realm of Ksivas Oisius, this is a problem. These are not related to one another. There's no shaychas between the aleph and black and the beis and red. They're too far apart. They're two different teams. One's the black team, one's the red team. There's no shaychas to them. That's not what Ksivas Oisius. That's not the way you write Oisius. When you write Oisius, you write the same. You don't write a check, you know, half in blue and half in green, half in purple. You write the same color ink. So comes the Rishami and says, Man Tana Beis Simanim. Who's the Tana who says you can be Chayev even though there's really no tziruf between the two, even though they're really not called Ksivas Oisius? No? Who's the Tana? Rabbi Yossi, because what does Rabbi Yossi say? What does Rabbi Yossi hold? You don't need Isis. According to Rabbi Yossi, all you need is Rishimus Bi'alma. All you need is scratches. So black and red is no worse than two scratches. But according to those who say two scratches is not chayiv, if you need Ksivus Isis, maybe in a chinami, black and red, it's not a diamond star. Maybe it's not called, to Isis. So with the doicha godo, but shas at chach, we can salvage Rishami according to Rashi. Maybe. So again, so we started out with this Rishami. Rishami makes a jump between the sugya beis simanim being chayev to the sugya of beis rishimus. That's the jump of rishimus, whatever roshim being chayev. That's the jump of the Rishami. According to the Rambam, we thought it was great. According to Rashi, we didn't really understand it. But we thought according to the Rambam were great. According to the Rambam, we had no problems. Then when we read the Perashat Mishnayos and Ram a little more carefully, then we realize that we have big problems. You know why we have big problems? Who knows why we have really, really, really big problems? Insurmountable problems, according to the Rambam. The Rambam, for some deep, dark reason, happens to have an entirely different pshat in the Machlekes of Yossi and the Rabban about Rishimos, about Roshim, which the Rambam's pshat does us in terms of understanding the Rishami. Anyone saw the Perashat Mishnayos? It's a complicated one. It's a hard one. Anyone saw it? It's very hard to read it. But this part is not so difficult. Rabbi Yossi made the following very, very cryptic statement in the Mishnah. What did he say? I'm Rabbi Yossi. Lo chivush de'aisyas el mishim reishim. So the simple pshat in the Mishnah, even though it doesn't fit into the word so well, but the rational pshat in the Mishnah, that there was a machloikis. Is Roshem Chayav or is Roshem Potter? So Rabbi Yossi says Chayav, and the Rabbanon apparently said Potter. Right? That's a Rashi Limsha in the Mishnah. So Machlokes HaTanoim is Roshem Chayav, and I'm making scratches as Chayav, or do you have to have Oisius to be Chayav? The Rambam in the Perashat Mishnayos had a whole different shot in this Machlokes Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanon, that it wasn't a Machlokes, or at least not literally a Machlokes. Everybody agrees, says the Rambam, that Roshem is Chayev. That wasn't the Shaila. Everyone agrees Roshem is Chayev. The Machloikis was as follows. Assuming that Roshem is Chayev, is Roshem the same as Kosev? Yechayev for writing A, B, Yechayev for writing Aleph, B, Yechayev for writing two scratch. It's all the same halacha called Kosev. Or believe it or not, you won't believe this one, there is another halacha out there. There was a 40th malacha. What's the 40th malacha? Called Roshim. Roshim is a malacha b'fnei atzma. That's the machlokes between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yossi. The Rabbanan say, Roshim's chayev as part of kosev. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, Roshim is chayev b'fnei atzma. And then Rabbi Yossi goes one step further and he says, and a person who only wrote two letters, that's not kosev. You know what kosev b'shabbos is? You know what the malach of Kosev is? You write a whole book. You write a sentence. You write a paragraph. You write an essay. I don't know how much you have to write. Nobody knows what the Rambam meant with that. You have to write a tremendous amount to be chayav mishum Kosev. Aye, but everybody knows that Kosev bezos yes is chayav. That's not a chiv of Kosev. It's not going to be a chiv of Roshem. To which the Rabbanon said, Roshem? We never heard of that malach. We only got 30. In our Rabbi Shea book, it only has 39. There is no 40th malach. Roshem doesn't exist. Roshem, Kosev, bezos, that's all the same thing. So according to the Rambam, there was never a machlokes whether writing two lines is chayav. Of course writing two lines is chayav. It was a very, very long dish of machlokes about is writing two lines part of Hilchas Kosev, part of Hilchas Kosev, or is writing two lines a separate melacha? And then assuming that it's a separate melacha, Rabbi Yossi had a chiddush gabi chiddush to say that Beis Eisius is not enough writing to be chayav mishum Kosev, you only chayav al tzereshim. And who could care less whether you chayav mishum Kosev or Roshem? What's the difference? Does anybody really care? Yeah. Nafka means if you do Kosev and Roshem, you have one chatas, two chatos, you have chatas per malacha. It gets very, very, very sticky in terms of how many chatos you have. But tachlis, in terms of Hilchos Shabbos and Tov Shinayin Daled, I couldn't care less. You have for Roshem, you have for Kosev, you have for Kosev Bezesius. There's no real machloikis between Rabbi Yossi and the Rabban Lamaisa. It's a very lomdish esoteric machloikis about the relationship between Kosev and Roshem. One malacha, two malachas, this malacha, that malacha, Bezesius, yeah. But tachlis on the ground in terms of Shulchan Aruch, there's no difference, says the Rambam. Everyone holds yichai for everything. According to this monumentally unbelievable razzle dazzle pshat of the Rambam, the Perashat Mishnayos, everyone saw this Rambam. You got to read this Rambam 100 times over and still don't know what he's talking about. Comes the Rambam and writes, if all this is true, so at the end of the day, there never really was a machlokes Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan. That doesn't bode well for who? if there was no real machlokes in Rabbi Yosef and Rabbanan, what does it not bode well for? For the Rishami. Because what did the Rishami say? The Rishami says, the chiv of Beis Simonim depends on the machlokes of Yosef and the Rabbanan. Is Reshim Chayiv or not? They had Tliya. They had connection. There's no connection because there's no machlokes. The Rishami says, Man tana the chayiv of Beis Simonim, Rabbi Yosef, alo Rabbanan. It's not true. The Rabbanan hold you chayiv for Reshim. So you chayiv for Beis Simonim. So according to the Rambam, we were so excited 15 minutes ago, we read this Rishami, and we said, thank you to the Rambam for the Arab numerals. The Rambam's shot in Beis Simonim was glatt in the Rishami. We had a Rashi, we had a bend over backwards, stand on our heads to try to stick in. We weren't even sure we did a good job. And then we turned around, the Nafichu, we turned the whole Rambam around, and we said, no, the Rambam ruined the Pshat. The Rambam, according to the Rambam, his whole Pshat doesn't fit into the Rishami. Because the Rambam, Lishitos, and the Perish of Mishnai, said there never was a machlokes lemaisa where the Roshim is also or not. The whole Rishami doesn't read Bichlal. So this Rishami is a big problem. This Rishami, what was the Rishami's great statement? The Rishami says, there's a connection between Beis Simonim and Roshim. So according to Rashi, we don't understand the Beis Simonim part. This is the problem, because Simonim means red and brown, red and black. It has nothing to do with what kind of numerals you're writing. So before we came with that Dochit Pshat, this part of the Rishami makes no sense. According to the Rambam, this part of the Rishami makes no sense. Because Roshim, everyone holds Yechai for Roshim. So we have this great Rishami that says, it wasn't how many words. How many words was it? Man, Tana, Simonios, Rabbi Yasi. 5-6 words, and it doesn't read according to anybody. Neither Rashi nor the Rambam. Nobody can make any sense out of this Rishami. So what's the answer, by saying? There's only one way out of this Rishami. What is that? It's out of the Rishami. Namely, to say that this Rishami, it's Gavaldik, it's Meridik, but there's got to be a Bavli somewhere that you see this. There's got to be a presentation of the Bavli that doesn't plug into this Rishami. And now the multi-million dollar question becomes, where in the Bavli is there any indication that the Rishami's equation is not true?
Even according to the simple reading of Rishami living under Amper Rishon Shais, how does it come out there's my first time? If it's the Tanakhama says Beis Simonim Chayev, and then comes Rabbi Yossi.
That's going to be part of the Tadicha. Hold on. So again, so let's see what we're up to here. So again, how do we end up with this Rishami? Why do we get into this Roshim part? What got us into this story was the Simonim Shah. Because we had a Machlekes Rabbeinu Yoel, the other Rishonim, Eichayif English. So we had another Machlekes Rashi in the Rambam, what Beis Simonim were. So we said, there's a connection between these Machlekesim. If you hold the Eichayif in English, then you can be Eichayif in numerals. If you hold your Potter in English, then it's hard to believe Eichayif in Arab numerals. If you're Potter for IT, then obviously you're Potter for 57. So we said, that machlekes of Zeruah and the other Rishonim is going to impact on Pshat and Simonim. So we were trying to figure out, so Taka, who's right in the sugi about Simonim? So we ran to the Rishonim. It took us a little time to understand the relationship between Simonim and Roshim. But now we've hit into a brick wall twice. That the whole Rishami, that's the last place we want to look for any indication of anything, because the Rishami doesn't read smooth. Neither Rashi's Pshat nor the Rambam Pshat fits nicely into the Rishami. So our next point is going to have to be to show that we're not going to be so worried about this Rishami. We're going to show you, hopefully we'll show you by tomorrow, that the Bavli disagrees with Rishami. That we accept the halacha, Simonim and Roshim have nothing to do with each other. No matter what you hold Simonim, what you hold Roshim is, the two have nothing to do with each other. So we're going to be back to square one, back to Beis Simonim, Rashi, and Rambam. We're going to be back to Binyan and the other Rishonim. We just have to iron out this little bit of the Rishami, hopefully tomorrow, and then get back to the main thrust of Esther. What is the Din of Shak Savna? We're dealing with the Kaisa Derais, we're dealing with the Kaisa Savna. Thank you.